Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Rick Lepsinger's back, ladies and gentlemen. Rick's a good friend of ours, longtime Brain Trust member. In fact, this is the 8th anniversary of his when he first joined the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. He's the president of On Point Consulting, co-author of a number of books, and the author of Closing the Execution Gap. I think that's your new book, isn't it, Rick?
Yeah, that and Virtual Team Success.
There you go. I've got that one, yep, and also that's Flexible right. Leadership. Happy anniversary, Rick.
Yes, thank you. 8 years. That's like
about
amazing.
That?
I can't believe it. Yeah.
You know what that. You get for your anniversary from us, right? You
know thank you.
An email.
All right.
Yeah, you already got it. I hope you enjoyed it.
All right. Very good.
Hey, Rick. One of the things that we're all faced with and that I've talked about since day one on my show is dealing with change. And I've talked about, you know, identifying change, recognizing it, accepting it, managing it, leading change, all the statistics on how many people don't like change and all that. And one of the things that I've been pointing out for a long time is that there's really nothing new under the sun with regard to change except one thing, and that's the velocity of change.
Yeah.
The compression of time between this model and the next model. That's what's taking everyone's breath away, and that's creating a lot of uncertainty, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting that, you know, the way we've been looking at change, we really do have to start to think about managing change in a different way. You know, everybody's probably very familiar with the statistic that 70% of change initiatives fail.
Yep.
What's particularly, you know, fascinating about that statistic is that it hasn't changed in 20 years. We've made no progress in terms of our success rate with change. And I think part of that is that we're focusing on the wrong thing, because a lot of the information we get is this whole thing about resistance to change, and some of the points you were making about employees don't want to change, they prefer the status quo, things are going too quickly. In a recent study we just did, we actually found the opposite. Most people in today's world understand that change is necessary. Half the people in our study thought that change was either too slow or just right. So it's not as much the resistance to change as I think it is the uncertainty of change. And if leaders can really address five key questions, I think we can have a much better success rate in managing change in general.
But isn't change by nature uncertain? I mean, can we even, it almost sounds like a solution that can't be acquired.
Well, actually, that's a very good point. It doesn't have to be. In other words, knowing what the next change is may be some degree of uncertainty because you can't predict the future. Mm-hmm. But once you decide that this is the transition you're going to make, there's a lot that the leader can do to remove some of that uncertainty and get people really focused on what needs to be done, increase their confidence that it can happen, and really direct people much better.
I'm a member of a futures organization, and when in the conversations that are had, I can tell that some of the people are that they have a certain point of view, and their foresight work leads them in that direction toward their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that if you're going to have foresight, which is what leading change requires, you should say, okay, here are the two ways this can go. It can go this way well. It can go this way badly. Here are the two options. Here are the two ways.
Yeah.
And so would that clear up a little uncertainty?
Well, I think some of it is the planning piece. Some of it has to do with anticipating, you know, future scenarios and preparing for future scenarios, which I think is really important. It also comes
if the boss says let's change, and here's what it's going to look like, And everybody in the organization says, you know what, that's probably not what it's going to look like. It's probably going to look like something else.
Yeah.
Then you're really not going to get off the ground, are you?
Yeah, and I think the underlying factor there is a lot of times we focus on communicating this future state and this vision of where we want to go, which is important. It's an essential component and the goal we want to achieve. But I think where we miss the boat is that we don't actually get down to the behavior. What exactly do we want people to do to realize this change, to realize this transition? Because if you can't name the behavior, it's unlikely either you're going to be able to know when you get there or people are going to know what you want them to do or what you want them to stop doing.
Well, and see, the thing that I've, in my experience, Rick, when somebody like you or I go into an organization and try to help them lead change, it's not the first time that the people in the organization have tried something like this, right? Most of the time they've done it before, and in most cases it didn't turn out like the boss said it was going to turn out.
Right.
And so now they've got this
credibility.
Exactly. Yeah. That, to me, my experience, the leadership's lack of credibility to affect change the way they thought it would happen is where the 70% comes in.
Yeah, and I do think that's part of the process, is that so many failed changes, people just say, here we go again. But I do believe it's because we just keep doing the same thing over and over and don't try to adjust how we go at it. And we can talk a little bit more about the unintended outcome of leader behavior when we try to make the business case for change and how that actually works against you rather than works for you.
Give us one example of how to minimize the uncertainty of change.
Well, one of them is what I said, is about being very specific about the behavior. You know, not just the goal and not just the vision, but what specifically do you want people to start doing and stop doing? And the other example is what you were raising, is this notion of managing the transition. Mm-hmm. Is not so much over-promising, you know, this is where it's going to go, and painting some rosy picture of the future, but being realistic of both what you're trying to accomplish, what the speed bumps along the way are going to be, and what the actual allocation of resources needs to be. Because we also drop the ball there, where we have a high expectation, but we don't resource it appropriately and just expect people to achieve this outcome while they're doing their regular day job without providing the resources that are needed. I think that's why things fail as much as over-promising.
And don't we need the folks to own this too? Can we talk about that? We'll come back.
Yeah, we can definitely talk about how to increase the ownership.
The ownership. This is huge, folks. Ownership today in the workforce is huge. If you're not thinking about it like this, you probably should start. Quick break, 20 after. Right back with Rick Lepsinger. I'm Jim Blessinger.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.